culture, one thing has become very evident, and that is that our soils, there's many of our soils out here that are having some real issues regarding soil structure and just the ability to manage air and water. And as a result, we're seeing a lot of limitations in what we can do with our soils on the farms. And so the last 10 years of the time I've worked in agriculture, I've been working with gypsum. We discovered a couple of sources in Indiana in 2001. We've got now several thousand acres of gypsum application that have, are into their 10th crop year, and we've seen a lot of changes, a lot of really positive things associated with gypsum. And so I would like to bring to you a commercial perspective of what we've experienced with gypsum over time, and perhaps share with you, here we go, just a little bit on each of these topics. I know there's several here, and we're our time is somewhat limited. So. I started working with gypsum in 2002. I have a consulting business in Indiana, and I felt like I wanted my farmers to have the ability to take a look at it, see what it will do. And each year since we began using gypsum on every one of these fields, as a matter of fact, we're seeing a tremendous improvement in the soil quality. As a result, we're seeing good and better crop productivity year in and year out. Depending on the weather situation, usually our gypsum fields are a few bushels above the community average for several good reasons. There was not a lot of awareness for gypsum. There was not gypsum really available in the market, so it's pretty much of a whole new concept at this time. So I spent the last 10 years in an attempt to build a market awareness for gypsum in Indiana. I believe from the changes we're seeing in the soils, the benefits we're seeing, that it's important that farmers learn about this and learn how to use it best and where it fits and where it does not fit, because it doesn't fit everywhere. There are soils where it just is not a tool. And so that's what I've worked with for some time now. In 2009, a company from Chicago, Beneficial Reuse Management Company, bought my company, and it's given us an opportunity now to go beyond Indiana into other markets in other states and really share the information, the commercial information that we know about gypsum. It's a bit of a chore. We work for through the regulatory agencies, through the utilities and other sources for gypsum, along with the local infrastructure of distribution to the farmers. So it's a fairly complex dance that we do out there in each state, but it is working, and we're now active in 14 states, and we are also looking into others as well. We're primarily east of the Mississippi now, but we're also moving west. Benefits. Gypsum is an excellent sulfur and calcium source. That's kind of a secondary purpose that we use gypsum for as a nutrient source, and we're seeing significant responses to that. My primary purpose for gypsum was to improve soil structure so that we can improve how that whole soil produces. And as a result of this, we are seeing increased water infiltration. Gypsum is helping reduce soil loss. It's saving nutrients, because if the soil is not leaving, then the nutrients are leaving to a lesser extent. As a result of better soil structure, more oxygen into that soil environment, we're seeing a lot better soil biology. We're seeing a tremendous change in our soil biology, an increase and a tremendous increase in soil biological activity and influence over that soil. As a result, too, gypsum being water soluble, moving through the soil profile, improving that whole soil profile, we're seeing a much larger expanded root zone for the crops that we're planting. You know, research has told us that there is an opportunity for better crops. Warren Dick and his colleagues in Ohio have shown a significant difference in one of their studies to gypsum as a sulfur source, a significant increase in yield. In alfalfa, in another three-year study, we're seeing, again, a significant increase in yield. We, on the commercial side, are seeing this very same thing. When we apply gypsum to alfalfa, we see an immediate response where sulfur is limiting. And over time, where soil structure is tight, we're seeing an improvement in that soil structure and a yield response to that better rooting underneath that crop. Commercially, we are also seeing quite a dramatic change in water management of that soil. As early as the first application of gypsum within the first 12 months, sometimes we'll see an improvement in the water infiltration. Generally, that takes 2 to 3 years. But once that has taken place with proper tiling and a place for the water to go, we're seeing our soils become much like a big sponge, so that when we get heavy rainfall events, continual rainfall events, the soil is able to absorb that water rather than let it run off. So our sloped areas where typically we'll have significant runoff, today the water is going into that soil. And that has a big impact on the quality of the crop that can grow on those hillsides. In some cases, we're seeing a soil that maybe was only a half an inch per hour steady state infiltration, as high as 2 inches per hour. And this mirrors somewhat what Dr. Norton has seen in his research. Gypsum improves soil structure. It flocculates clay, so we see an increase in aggregation. As it becomes softer and more porous and friable, it's becoming less compacted. And as a result, we see soil biological systems proliferating through that soil and helping aggregate the soil. And each year, these fields tend to become more and more and more aggregated, higher and higher quality. Our farmers often comment that probably the first symptom they see in terms of the gypsum is that their tractors are pulling these anhydrous ammonia bars much easier through the field, a couple of gears higher. So that's probably the first symptom we see. Because we're not allowing the water to run off the soil, we're seeing what Dr. Norton and others have seen and measured, that we are seeing a significant result in terms of a reduction in erosion. In his work in 2006, he was seeing as much as a 50% reduction in soil loss. So, yes, we're seeing that commercially as well, and that's having a big impact on the environment as well as the quality of the crop as well as the cost of the inputs. Gypsum reduces nutrient losses, again, through the USDA research. We've seen that. University of Wisconsin did some research just recently in two locations in 2010, and they've measured a reduction in soluble phosphorus with the higher rates of gypsum. Gypsum helps foster healthy soil biology. This looser, friendlier environment of the soil organisms, we just see soil biology become very much in control of the soil after the 2 to 3 years that we begin using gypsum. One of the markers I use is we go out and just see how much change we are seeing in terms of earthworm activity. That's very, very common, as well as some of the microbiological markers like actinomycetes and things. As a result, we're seeing faster residue breakdown. We're seeing residue moving deeper into the soil profile through the earthworm activity. And as a result as well, these systems tend to balance our nutrients in our soil. We're finding that on our consistent soil testing programs that our deficient potassium and phosphorus levels are coming up into what we consider a mid-optimum, which allows us to reduce the amount of applied nutrients because we're getting a certain amount of the needs for the soil and the crops from the soil biology's work. Expanded root zone, we're really excited about this. As the gypsum over time moves through the soil profile, we're seeing that the soil biology is following it down. And as they go down through the earthworms go down through the soil profile, we're seeing them bring the black residue, the soil organic material down. The crop's roots are following that down. And in this particular picture, this is in the fifth year after beginning to apply gypsum. I think we had 3 applications on this particular field at this time. This is almost 5 feet into the subsoil in an area where we had no active biology below about 30 inches. But now we have active biology. We have nutrients, oxygen, and moisture for that crop to feed from. And we're seeing a significant impact on the crop's reaction to extreme weather events. And I'll show a picture of this in a little bit. Okay, gypsum's a little different. It's unlike any other bulk fertilizer or soil amendment type material that we've worked with. So there's a learning process associated with applying this material. But what's important is it's not impossible. Once we figure out how to apply it, then it's pretty easy to deal with. The physical properties vary. They kind of depend on the source. The majority of the gypsum that we're have available really in the U.S. is FGD gypsum, flue gas desulfurization gypsum, which is made when power utilities scrub sulfur dioxide out of their flue gases. Ultimately, they make gypsum. This is a fine tan material. It's slightly moist. It's kind of similar to damp flour or slightly moist soil. The particle size is somewhere between 50 and 150 microns, so it's very fine and it's very reactive. Gypsum for manufacturing, ADM and others manufacture citric acid and lactic acid. Gypsum is made in that process as well. It's a very pure material, as is the FGD gypsum, and it has a little bit different structure, but again, it's a different color, but it handles very much the same. And we find that the efficacy of the product in terms of what it does to the soil is very, very similar. The one thing about gypsum, though, that's the challenge for us, and that is because of the fine particle size, it tends to bridge. So we have to be careful how we handle it, and much of what we do to handle it is really surrounds how to deal with that. Gypsum can be stored outside. The best place to store gypsum, obviously, as with any product, would be inside under cover, but the majority of it is stored outside, and so many of our farmers will stockpile their gypsum ahead of harvest so that it's ready, it's there, and so it does spend some time outside. Just out of prudence, most of the state regulatory agencies require products like gypsum to be stored at least 200 feet away from a water body or drainage channel. We find that because it can tend to bridge in the spreader truck, we like to keep it clean, so we scrape away all the residue from the ground, place it on bare ground, push it up into a peak. When rain falls on it, it will soak down into the upper inch to 2 inches of the material. It will crust, and then that will act like a shield to shed water. One of the things that's important is that when we stockpile gypsum, that we stockpile it on a bit of a rise rather than in a swale, because if water runs into the base of it, it will soak up, and then that material becomes very, very difficult to handle. Okay, application equipment. We'll use the equipment that's out in the industry right now, lime slash fertilizer spreading equipment or other types of equipment. Particularly, we want something that's got a fairly steep side that is very slick, so that as the gypsum moves, it will slide down. We need a wide delivery belt to pull the material away so that it doesn't create a bridge or a cavity there that would be a problem. So we need at least a 20-inch wide belt. To deliver the material to the field, then we need twin spinners so that we get a uniform application in terms of rate across that spread pattern up to the width of the pattern. The controllers on the belt and on the spinners need to be independent so that we can fine-tune that unit to put the rate of material we want on based on the spread width and the forward speed. Because it tends to bridge, anything that's inside of that spreader bed can tend to be a problem. So let me show you inside a couple of them here. The top one is a typical fertilizer spreader. That's a stainless steel box with fairly steep sides, a very wide belt. So as the material slides down these sides, the belt then delivers it away without creating a channel. Now, if you'll notice, there's a shield above this belt, which is designed for other products. That shield will cause this product to bridge. So we're going to remove that shield and just leave it wide open. This kind of equipment does a very good job of spreading gypsum. Another one would be a litter spreader. Sometimes we'll have a spreader unit that's got steel sides. They're rusty. They may have paint on them. Gypsum doesn't slide very well on those. So in that case, we recommend putting something like a slip plate on it, or bolt a plastic liner to it so that the gypsum will flow and move down through to the belt. Typical modern equipment that's used very commonly, the New Leader 3020 with the G4 control unit. This can be controlled via satellite and ground speed and ground direction, or it can be mechanically controlled from the wheels themselves. But the configuration of the machine is such that it does a really good job. Another one, this is considered a litter spreader for poultry litter and lime. This is, again, another good alternative. The BVI, lime fertilizer spreader, again, we're dealing with a fairly wide belt, a double spinner spreader here with hydraulic controls, and this is the type of setup we need to do a uniform job with gypsum. Timing. Gypsum can be applied any time that it's appropriate to be in the field, that we're not going to be damaging the soil or the crop. So that means typically after harvest of most crops, before the next crop is planted. And that gives us, depending upon the market, it may give us anywhere from 5 to 8 months throughout the year that we can apply the material. Gypsum is water soluble, very water soluble. It moves down through the soil profile, so it's not necessary to incorporate the material to activate it and put it where we want it. We're finding commercially in our no-till environments that we're having a very successful result on this in terms of the uniformity of the calcium levels and just the nature of that soil down through the profile, and we're not tilling. But there's no harm in applying gypsum ahead of tillage either, because stirring it into the soil will put it where we want it, and it will also work just as well. So it's a very flexible product. Our rates are based mostly on our own experience and the objectives that we're trying to accomplish. If we're using gypsum as a sulfur source or as a calcium source, then we're applying 300 to 500 pounds per acre. If we're using it as a soil amendment, our range is from a half a ton to 2 tons per acre every 1 to 2 years. Now, for peanuts, potatoes, and other specialty crops that have been gypsum been used on them for 30 years, there are established rates that are in place. But for many of these other crops, we're really just getting started and don't have a strong guideline to that. We know that gypsum is changing soil chemistry. We're using soil tests to determine the need for gypsum and how we are accomplishing what we are with the gypsum. We use the soil test as a monitor. So we believe that the nutrient holding capacity of that soil should be one of the guides we use for the rate. So we use a cation exchange capacity. If the CEC is less than 10, we use a half a ton per acre for soil amendment purposes. If the CEC is 10 to 15, we'll use a ton. If the CEC is above 15, we'll use 2 tons. One of our goals is to bring the base saturation of calcium somewhere in that 70 to 85 range. And what we know commercially here is that over time, these rates in these particular situations have delivered us the soil amendment properties that we need with the gypsum, without upsetting the balance of anything else. So we're very happy and content with these rates. Gypsum is not a very expensive product. Delivered, in most cases, we're dealing somewhere between $25 and $45 per acre, which is per ton. Transportation makes up the bulk of that. We set the price at retail. Many places, the price at retail may be as high as $14 a ton. When we look at mine gypsum, in many cases, we could be looking as high as $100 a ton delivered into the area. So it's quite a bit cheaper because it is from a byproduct and it's made in much higher quantities. Real quick, I want to show you some folks that have worked with gypsum, both long-term and short-term, and kind of get their response. Jack Maloney is in Brownsburg, which is central Indiana. He farms 2,600 acres of corn and soybeans in a no-till operation. I've worked with Jack for a number of years. He just is completing his 10th crop year with gypsum. We're seeing there very much improved soil structure and water infiltration, and it improves each year. We're seeing better soil quality, and the water quality of the water coming out of his tile is much higher quality with lower nutrient loadings. And we're continually seeing improved yields and actually lower production costs. I want to give you an example here. This field in the upper left is his 320-acre cornfield. The one in the lower portion is his bean field, and the one in the upper right is a field that has not had gypsum. The cornfield on the left, it's in its fifth year of gypsum. And we're seeing a significant improvement in that corn because, as you'll notice, we've got a very uniform corn field here. This is in the middle of a drought in 2008 when most all the other fields in the community were really showing some stress. So why was it that these fields were not? Well, if we look into the soil profile and look at the aggregation of the top structure here, the upper 12 to 14 inches, that's different than it was 5 years prior. That's different than the neighboring fields today. With the gypsum, we've taken something that is a very hard, compacted soil as this was in the surface when we first started working with it. And it's become very, very aggregated. And as we move down through the soil profile, we're finding earthworms, corn roots, channels, many places for those corn roots to go, as well as water when we get heavy rainfall. So we're beginning to see how this sponging action works. And this is what's contributing to the quality of that corn. As we get on down into the subsoil, again, this is roughly 5 feet into the subsoil, we are seeing an activity here that we've never seen before. Because of the gypsum, we've changed that chemistry, we've changed it down through the soil profile, and now we're seeing the crops down there getting what they need. So as a result, this is helping give us a better crop rooting and much higher yield response. Here is a section of the yield. We did a comparison to the neighboring field. This was in the third week of August. We're looking at a 27 bushel yield differential here in this particular case, in this one field, this one year. When we look at the change in the cost of tillage, the change in the cost of nutrient applications, adding in the gypsum, we're seeing an $84 an acre reduction in net input costs on these parameters together with tillage. When we put that together with the yield differential at 27 bushel at a $5 value, which is a little higher today, but at $5 we see a total of give or take $200 per acre in that fifth year net benefit to that farmer. Now this is one field, one year, one crop, one situation, but for me, this gives us an idea of the potential that we may have for gypsum when we solve these kinds of problems, if these are the limiting factors in the fields. Another testimony, Rodney Roulon at Arcadia, Indiana. He started 5 years ago. He's a fairly large farmer, 6,000 acres, corn and soybeans. He took some of his tougher fields, tried a little gypsum 5 years ago, came back last year, put on 3,000 acres of gypsum, and he's going to apply gypsum to the other half of his farm this year, the other 3,000 acres. He's seeing improved water infiltration down there in this pit where he wants the corn crop rooting to be. He's seeing better water infiltration, and he believes that keeping water for the plant has a benefit to the yield. And fertilizer is terribly expensive. There's no reason to let it leave our farm through the drain tile. So he's very motivated there. Wisconsin, Miller Farms, Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. 3,500 acre cash grain, no-till operation. They've got a pasture-raised livestock operation. They started applying gypsum in 2009. They're seeing less ponding, less compaction, less problems with tight clay soils that they have up there. They actually saw a soybean yield increase of 15 to 20 bushel per acre after the first application. I think that is based on the need for sulfur in that particular area. Scott Stoffel, 170 dairy cow operation, he's seeing that gypsum feed tests of sulfur going up, which is what he wants for his dairy cows. Hessian Farms in Brownsburg, Indiana, again, central Indiana, 5,000 acres of food-grade corn, soybeans, minimum tillage. They began application in 2005. They're seeing an improvement in soil tilth, more earthworms, more air, more water channels, and they're lowered their P&K by 25 to 30% as a result. And Brad and Jake Brown down in Centerpoint, Indiana, smaller farmers, but they began in 2005, and again, they're seeing an improvement in water permeability on these very, very poorly drained soils. And the sulfur is helping get their crop going, and they're seeing steadily higher yields each year. So that's kind of a real quick base on some of the customers, some of the things that we're seeing with gypsum. We are focused on taking the message of gypsum to the market. We currently have roughly 150 distributors in 14 states that we are working with to bring the message of gypsum to the field, the leadership, and the product itself. We're also looking into other states. Our company, GypSoil, one of our goals is to create a base of information for farmers and others to learn about gypsum, how to use it properly, where it fits, where it doesn't fit. And so we put together a website we updated last month and announced it a one-day symposium in Arlington Ag Research Station for the University of Wisconsin. Our goal there was to call out people, bring them to this one-day session, and then share the information that was presented by leading researchers and a panel of growers. We had 200 attendees, CCAs, educators, growers, interested folks. I will say that the outcome of that was quite good. We have received a lot of good feedback from that, and folks really want this kind of information to learn how to use gypsum. So our website then, it's full with information in terms of the three regions that we're dealing with east of the Mississippi. Farmers can go in, find a dealer. We have a large research library there where we're compiling as much information as we can about the research that's out there so that folks can take a look and see, you know, what is out there, what can I learn about gypsum. It's searchable by topic, author, and state and crop. I would reach out to all of you. If you have research information that you would like to have on our website, please let me know. We'd love to put it there and help make it available to other farmers. Real quick, that's it in a nutshell, I guess. So any questions?
Do you have any questions?
Okay.
All right, thank you.